up on you?
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area, and I invite you to go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in right now, or they can listen to our rebroadcasts anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Now, we also send out an email every Wednesday morning, so if you receive that email, send it around to a friend and invite them to tune in, and you will also be receiving a copy of today's broadcast so that you can send it around to family and friends. Well, joining us today on this 24th of August, it's almost unbelievable how quickly the months have gone by, is Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, the new daddy, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash, and I am proud to be with you as your host. It's amazing how quickly time flies. And of course, Rich is now a dad for another week, and I'm going to ask him, first of all, to give us an update. How's everything going with you, Rich?
Well, Michael, good morning to you guys and our listeners. Man, I got to tell you, 3 weeks in, our listener base has grown. Anyone want a kid? Anyone looking out there? I'll pay the freight to go down. I'll expedite it, you know. So everything's going great, Michael. Thank you. And again, my warm regards and my same from my wife for everybody last week coming on. That was such a pleasant surprise or pleasant surprises with everyone coming on and showering us with all of the well wishes. So thanks for setting that up.
Well, that's very nice. And Rich, you certainly do an awful lot to bring color to the show. And that's what we're trying to do. I only wish, as I say so often, I wish that the general news media would follow our direction and start to really do what they're supposed to do to keep people in America united and strong. And
Michael,
by the way,
Michael, you just said bring color to the show. Did you really have to bring race into it? I mean, really? Did we have
well,
to
you know, that? I want to say something about that, Rich. I don't like when I talk with the tourists. I have an opportunity to meet with people of all races, colors, and creeds, and I treat everyone equally. I don't like the fact that all of these things are being discussed in the media. I think that media people are really pitting one group against the next. I thought at this point in America, we would be far above all of this type of nonsense, and we would be working together to end the distractions and bring people together so that we're worried about our future, our economy, the unbelievable amount of debt that America is in because of really poor leadership. And, you know, when I am out there at the different events and at this historic area, people are very, very upcoming about what they have to think with this upcoming election. No matter where I go, I hear about political discussions. I hear so many different ideas from people that I'm really glad to know that people have been talking about this with family members and friends, and they better appreciate the time and energy that all of us are putting into trying to discuss the real issues. As I said before, no one can understand why the major media is focused on negativity. Some people tell me, as soon as I hear it, I turn it off immediately because I don't want to be poisoned with that kind of negativity.
Can I make a point, Michael?
Yes, doctor.
Can I make a point about that? As a former journalist, for those who think that brings some credibility to this issue, some of my journalist friends vehemently disagree with what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Never has there been a time in the modern era has our media, our mainstream media, been so nakedly exposed? Did you guys see a few weeks ago the New York Times publicly stated, from a columnist, publicly stated that they will no longer be objective about the election? Dan Rather, who's been a journalist pretty much as long as all of us have been alive, said virtually the same thing. Now, ask yourselves, guys, why is that? Now, first off, with all due respect to anyone listening, if learning that the media is not objective is news to you, shame on you. Shame on you. If that is news to you. But I'm not going to criticize those who are learning that this is news, because it tells me they just haven't been paying attention. And I've said on this show before, the number one problem in our country is how little people know. Now, why is the media doing that, Michael? See, the media is not stupid. It knows that it cannot, please, guys, listen to my wording, it cannot make you like Clinton. Not even her own husband likes her. No matter how many soaring speeches he gives, he had 69 affairs. So what's the strategy? The strategy is to make you hate and fear and loathe Trump. And the New York Times saying what it said, here's the real writing on the wall. Hey, American public, we're the most prominent newspaper in American history. And this person, Republican nominee, is so bad that we can't remain objective anymore. What is that meant to do? That's meant to have people say, maybe I shouldn't vote for that guy. Up to this point, the tactics of the media have failed miserably. Use a sports analogy. Imagine the same team won year after year after year with the same playbook. Same playbook. They ran the same plays, won every year, 30 years in a row. All of a sudden, a team comes along. They lose. Then they lose. They keep losing. They run their playbook, and they keep losing. What do you do? That's where the media is at right now. So they're not going to work to bring policy. And whether we like it or not, the news is going to be inundated. We're going to be inundated in the next 2.5 months with Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. And I wish that our elections were about, hey, let's put on a checklist all the really good qualities of each. I wish that were the case. Unfortunately, it really isn't. So when you put on a piece of paper the bad stuff about each of them, this is not even close, this election. And I'm saying that as the third party guy. I got on this show, Michael, talking about, you know, the duopoly, the Republican and Democrat looking like the same thing, which is just one other point if I can make, guys. I would like to ask every Republican who's publicly said we're voting for Clinton, they can vote however they want. Their vote should not be suppressed. This is not the Soviet Union. But I would like to say to them that you just disrespected the largest turnout in the history of your party, including many of whom voted Republican for the first time. That's your strategy to getting new voters? Trump got 14 million votes in the primary. You know how many millions of those people never voted and or never voted Republican before, Larkin? And the Republicans, some of them publicly, who have worked in many administrations, well, we're going to vote for Clinton. Oh, okay. You can vote however you want, but you just disrespected the largest turnout in your party's history. Don't forget that.
Well, Larkin, you know better than anybody that you've seen a number of elections. I've seen a number of elections, and Mark has seen a few elections along the way. I believe this is going to be the most brutal election we've ever seen in American history. And in one respect, maybe that's good, because for too long, the people sat back and did nothing to participate. And now that the country lost this many jobs, our businesses went overseas, fast-talking salesmen were able to convince America's businesses to move their stuff overseas, and our people have no jobs, no livelihoods, and no futures. young people getting out of colleges have no jobs yet. Here we are, the end of August, and they still have no jobs yet. They have many possibilities, maybe for Christmas time or something like that, for the holiday season, but nothing yet. I'm in social services, human services, so I hear and see a lot of things which I never saw 20 years ago. And that's really what this election is coming to be. People want change. It's just that the two people there to bring possible change about are not the two people best suited for the jobs. What do you say, Larkin?
Well, good morning, everybody. And welcome to our guests, to our listeners. I've got to say something about Rich's remarks because it doesn't happen very often, but I pretty much agree with him. The press used to be cigar chewing editors sitting up on the 14th floor and people going in and trying to sell stories and getting the who, what, when, where, and why of what's going on. That's not the case anymore. Electronic media has turned the press, the third estate, whatever you want to call it, into celebrities. I mean, they're all celebrities, every one of them. They make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, some of them millions of dollars, to be a talking head. When I was growing up, that's all in my little dinky little city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that's all Bill Burns was. He was a talking head. He was a personal friend of my dad's, so I knew him as Uncle Bill, but I mean, on TV, he wasn't this huge celebrity. He was just a guy that read the news on TV. And now, anymore today, the celebrity has taken over. The celebrity has taken over our politics, and now our senators and congressmen aren't statesmen, they're celebrities. It's the camera. It's how you look in front of the camera. Some of you would fall over if you met some of these candidates in person because they don't dress to appeal to the people who are there to see them in the audience. They dress to appeal to the camera. And by that, I mean a female running for president on the Republican side, remain unnamed because I don't want to say unkind things in an identifier, actually was behind John McCain as the line was coming by me. All the Democratic Philadelphia operatives were on the rope. And as they came by, I literally let out a yelp when I saw her. I mean, I've never seen that much makeup on one person. And it was virtually caked on. And I thought, well, why would she meet me dressed like that? No, it's not me that she's dressed for. She dressed for the camera. And all of the men have cake makeup on. Before they'll even go on, they put, you know, it's just stupid. We've gotten so far away from people who care about the country, and Hillary can say that until she's blue in the face, so can Donald Trump. I know they are self-serving candidates.
Absolutely.
That would never step in front of a bus for this country, but would yell at anybody else who wasn't willing to. So the press, I mean, I don't know where to go in the morning anymore. I can't get it. I'm just banished to C-SPAN, and it's going to be C-SPAN from now on because they go out of their way not to express an opinion. They interview people who call in to talk to a politician or a journalist or a writer, and they ask the commentator to always comment. The commentator says, I have no opinion. Well, he or she doesn't. They're not supposed to. The opinions are expressed by the people being interviewed and the people calling in with their position. That's who I'm interested in here.
And Larkin, I want to tell you,
I couldn't care less what Charlie Rhodes thought, and I sure as heck don't care about Norah O'Donnell or McDonald or whatever her name is, and the other one whose name escapes me now, who's Oprah's best friend. I don't care what they think, but they go out of their way every morning to tell me what they think. And they report news in such a slanted fashion that they, the producers, and the president of CBS News ought to be embarrassed. but they're not.
You're right, Larkin.
Because,
and you know,
because it sells.
You know what, Larkin? Here's something I want to bring to your attention, because I've had people do this in my behalf and let me know how they made out. Some of the people are on different radio broadcasts, and they're saying, oh, we're Twitter. This is on Twitter now, and this is happening on Instagram and all. And when people write to them and say, why don't you get on the Let's Bring Back Jobs to America issue, those tweets and all are totally ignored because they don't want to get involved talking about that, because immediately talking about jobs being left out in America by the tens of millions immediately brings attention to the fact that the people in elected office, the people who are buying ads and treating them, are not going to be happy if they say we lost too many jobs, we, you know, our people are unskilled and blah blah blah. So they ignore those tweets, they ignore the emails. So this media is extremely slanted, and that's to the downfall of America now and in the future. The media could play such a positive role in this whole entire thing. And I'll tell you this too, guys, I hear from the people face to face. They tell me, Michael, after seeing what's going on, after looking at labels like I've never looked at labels in my lifetime, I am voting with my wallet every day of the year. Many of the discretionary items that I would buy, and I see now that they're 100% non-American made, which is a culturally sensitive way of saying there's nothing made in America, I'm not buying it. I'm bypassing it unless it's extremely, extremely needed by my family or myself. And that's good to hear, because it's hurt. It's allowing the businesses to know that people are not going to be pushed around anymore. Yes, Larkin.
Well, it's unfortunate, but we get caught up in this political chatter. And again, I'm not to vote for or against anything. I just present issues. I try to be pragmatic, but I mean, TPP, the huge advantage in the Trans-Pacific Protection, whatever the hell that is, and whatever that is, excuse me, is supposed to protect us through tariffs. And not so much tariffs, but the lack of tariffs and, you know, corrective measures to put tariffs. I'm saying you're putting a Band-Aid on a wound that is gushing blood right now. You're going to protect what manufacturing? Excuse me one more time. What manufacturing?
What manufacturing?
Are you
going
to protect? We don't have any manufacturing. So why don't you fix that problem and then let me talk to you about TPP and protecting the American worker.
And you know, Larkin, if
one sock manufacturer in the company in the country,
right?
Virtually nobody that builds a man suit in this country or makes a pair of pants, virtually nobody that makes any of the bent metal sling type outdoor or indoor furniture, it's all made in Japan and China. Excuse me, Mr. President, you're protecting what manufacturing job now? Explain to me that again.
Exactly right, Larkin. If we went to Mark's place, there would probably be the only area we would be able to find 7,000 products fully made in America. But if we went to some of the bigger outlet stores in any county or any state in America, we'd have a struggle to find that stuff. And that's why the people on the televisions and the radio programs and all these Twitter and all, they don't want to acknowledge the people who are tweeting things like, why don't you people talk more about jobs? They totally ignore them. Oh, they say we have so many people are for Clinton, against Clinton, for Trump, against Trump. That's all they want to keep repeating, the same rigmarole. Larkin, you watch television every day. How many television programs have addressed the employment needs of this country in the last month?
None of them do, and that's, you know, that's really the saddest part, is that this country is willing to complain they're willing to really pitch it left and right about how bad things are. But I guarantee you, we will not experience over 60% of voter registration and voter participation in this election. And if we do, it'll be inches over, only because there is such an uproar. So about the fact that we virtually have two horribly unqualified individuals running for president. I wouldn't elect either one of these people governor. I wouldn't.
Oh, governor's too nice. Has to be less than that. My God. Larkin, if you only knew what some of the opinions of the people who come in the tourist area, they're really angry. And I say to them, well, unfortunately, you need tons of money. You need a lot of rigmarole to go through to be a candidate for the highest office. And they say, well, why don't businessmen, people who have experience, who've done this or that? I say, because they don't want to go through this terrible, vicious vetting process. This is going to be the most heinous election. Every visitor tells me this is going to be the most heinous election. But they do tell me they can't wait to see the debates. The debates will put everything on the table. After the debates, it's over. If they don't do well in those first two debates, it's finished. You'll see the person naked for the first time right before your eyes. You'll know what they're really all about. And they'll probably be well rehearsed. And quite frankly, I don't even like the fact that there's too many moderators. There's too much bull going up into the debates. It should be less moderators and more direct questions from the American people, not questions you hear 2 weeks before time, but questions you receive 2 minutes before you are asked the question.
They had a Republican debate, one of the first, and the hitch, the headline on that debate was Megyn Kelly. You kidding me?
You're right. You're right. Absolutely.
What's the headline? That's what everybody was talking about. Megyn Kelly was the newsmaker. Not a comment, not a position, not politics, not opinion. Megyn Kelly, who through her own inimitable fashion said, "Wow, Mr. Trump, you've been known to call women pigs." Yeah. Really? Really?
Now, Larkin, let me ask you something. Good thing you brought that up. Do you think those questions were reviewed in advance by the people there from doing the presentation on Fox?
Well, if Fox News saw that question before it was asked, shame on them.
Very much shame on them. It is ridiculous. The biggest thing that I have learned is what Mark has been talking about for a number of years. The elected officials of this country don't understand what working means in this country. They have a job. They get their paycheck. They don't care about the American people. They don't understand what having a job and less dependency on the government programs is really all about. Government programs were started to help people who needed a little lift, maybe 60 or 90 days, not 60 or 90 years. This is the difference that we're up against. And they don't understand, the government officials, the national elected officials, from the president down, don't understand. With more people working, more tax dollars would be collected from paying income tax, that we would never have the problems we do in America.
But so you just think about this. Just think about this for a second. How... Charles Barkley is one of my favorite characters in the world because Charles speaks the truth. He truly does. And he said infamously once, African Americans, poor people, have been voting for Democrats for the last 40 years. And guess what? It's actually 60. Guess what? They're still poor. Nothing's gotten any better. Nothing. By their own registration, absolutely nothing's gotten any better. So why are they still voting for Democrats? Why? What is the driving force that says my life has so improved over the last 60 years, I think I'm going to continue to vote for the same party that has me in the position I'm in right now. I mean, it makes no sense.
Yeah, you're right. You know,
unless you want to elect them and all of a sudden maybe entitlements are going to go away.
You know, as you look back at the work of Dr. Martin Luther King, all of his efforts were to make people look equal, feel equal, because they had skills and possibilities. If you looked at his, if you looked at his rallies there in Washington, half of the sign says we want employment opportunities, and it was related to jobs. When they had the 50th anniversary, they ordered all of those signs with jobs as well as American flags taken out of the march. If anyone wants to go on the internet, Google Dr. Martin Luther King's march of 50 years ago and the march that was held last year, you will see that this is void of all signs, nothing about jobs, and no American flags. This is what it's all about in America, to try to make people feel that they are less if they're pushing American-made, that you're not welcoming immigrants, that you're not caring about the black community. I'm sorry. Working in social services, dealing with people of all ages, I can tell you factually, people want to be self-sufficient. They feel terrible when they have to ask government or anyone else, family members, friends, for anything. They feel horrible about it. But, we have a whole generation of people who are losing that value because all they've known is dependency upon government. And that has to change.
But, Michael, that is, and Larkin, and Mark, and everyone, this is what I talked about last week. This is the drip, drip, drip creeping of collectivism. Reagan specifically said the creeping of socialism, whether you want to call it socialism or communism or fascism or theocracy, it's all the same thing at its core. It's the same thing. And three decades separate Reagan and Obama. That is the drip, 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 and collectivism. The thing that I am so stressing and trying to emphasize to people, that it is at our doorstep right now. It's here. Guys, Marxist indoctrination works, my comrades. Just look at our youth. Look at our youth who have been so failed. A group of people who are smoking less, drinking less, doing fewer drugs, their whole lives are ahead of them. And they have all been duped into believing in collectivism. It's here, guys. Do our listeners understand that the thing that Reagan forewarned against, Larkin, that was his greatest contribution, that he understood it better than any modern president, and I would dare say any modern elected official. He got it. He knew that. But what have we done in the last 30 years? Have we listened to the warning? Larkin, you had a point last week. You talked about not accepting the status quo. You talked about working to make things better. We are the envy. We are the most generous place. But we are not immune to the problems that civilized societies have had throughout history. We aren't. And right now in our country's history, guys, we are witnessing a historic time. But history is not always a good thing. And the time that we're in right now is, if Larkin, if you are right about the 60%, if you're right about that, collectivism is going to win in this country. Do you know that? It's going to win. It's already winning. Schools, universities, media, Hollywood, social media. Everywhere the youth are, everywhere the mainstream information sources are, Michael. The left is there. Did they get there overnight? No. It was a drip, drip, drip. A creeping infiltration. And now we're at the breaking point.
You know, Mark, you were at a few events lately. Tell me what you saw in the people that you spoke with? What is their request for the future of America? How are their families doing?
Yeah, great question, Mike, and hello, Henry, and Rich and Larkin. And, can't believe a week went by. You know, that fair was 12 days long. My team and family, and Larkin, we talk a lot about this, but how much time they put into. I never wanted a handout. I just wanted a job to work on to make our money or a sale. You know, we raised our own. But that show was unbelievable. 1 million-plus people came through the gates at the Erie County Fair, and you know, they always seem to set a record. But, Mike, you know, it gives me hope. And, Rich, what you're talking about, you know, how people are one way. But I see it another way from the show. Now, the show is a lot of middle-class Americans. You get a lot of feedback. They're not happy where the country's going, but they love America. And, you know, we had big Veterans Day there. And, you know, they remind me this is the best country in the world, bar none. When they are all overseas, they come back here, they kiss the ground. And that's a great statement because it's the truth if you haven't been around the world. But, Mike, it's, you know, they gave me hope. They loved our Made in America store. Everybody was down except for us. They believe in what we're doing. And it's a simple, I always say, a common sense approach, but you can't go to school for common sense, drive, or ambition, I tell everybody. You just can't do it. But Made in America products make sense. They stood up. They support us. They come in. They wear our shirts. So it was great to see, Mike, good comments. But they don't like where America is going. They don't love the candidates. They may not like Trump, but they don't want to vote for Hillary. I hear that a lot. But great feedback. But middle-class America wants change for their children or grandchildren. They want this country to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I see that too. And, Mark, I can just imagine, were there a lot of the candidates out there with their, you know, campaign people trying to promote, or was that not allowed at the fair?
No, they don't. They don't do that at the fair too much. They kind of keep that out. But you know, the veterans and people that come to see us are our supporters and whatnot. It's funny they ask for a Trump shirt, and we don't do that. You know, we stay non-political. I always said I'm with the American Party with the store. But you get a great feeling of what they want and where they're going. It's great that we're shining 6 years later, and they're saying, "Mark, your timing's perfect." And I'm laughing. 6 years ago, my timing was perfect. I was told. So it tells me nothing's changed.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. And as I said last week,
you're
probably the only place we're going to be able to find 7,000-8,000 products.
But guys, and Mark especially, this isn't a criticism, Mark, of what you're doing. Made in America, we're skating on thin ice here.
Yeah.
Because the reason I'm saying that is because there's like a new industrial revolution in America now of dependency. It's like the next revolution, and when you have the Democratic nominee talking about, in no uncertain terms, let's get taxes raised, the largest insurers for the middle class taxes raised. When you're seeing insurers who are saying now about Obamacare, everything that we knew was going to happen, a lot of these big insurers are pulling out of the exchanges. And they're saying, nah, we're out, guys. And it so underscores something that I say all the time. What the left does is they bring problems to where solutions already exist. Or in the case of health care, which the problems of health care predated Obama, what the left did with health care is they just brought more problems to where a lot of problems already existed and exacerbated them. Larkin, you mentioned about voting Democrat. I challenge you guys and our listeners, find me a Democrat, predominant Democrat city in America that isn't either unaffordable to 98% of the population, unaffordable, or isn't full, rife, guns, drugs, violence, gangs. How about the city of Baltimore? You guys know that the city of Baltimore and the city council has been 100% Democrat for the last 70 years, Larkin? 7-0. 70. 70 years. It's longer than you've been on the planet. Their mayors have been Democrat for the last 60 years. How about Flint, a city that pridefully boasted that it was progressive? The people there are drinking lead in the water. Find me a Democrat city that doesn't fit one of those two. I challenge everyone on this listening to this show to find me a city that doesn't cost $80,000 a month in a studio like New York or San Francisco or Boston or Seattle or those cities, or a place that I wouldn't walk around with a bazooka in, like Chicago and Baltimore. How about Milwaukee? How about we just saw what happened in the news in Milwaukee? Larkin, people think that Wisconsin is a right-wing conservative state because of Scott Walker. Actually, Wisconsin's another left state, and Milwaukee's another leftist city. And you had a guy who had an altercation with the cops at 23 years old, was already a career criminal. 23. And did you guys see that his father came on the news? Mark, did you see that the guy who was justifiably shot and killed by the cops, that his father came on the news? You know what his father said? It's my fault. I wasn't there. Damn it, it doesn't take a village to raise children. It takes two parents who aren't dipsticks. And the left has every useful idiot in this country thinking that their neighbors are Christian occultists who bring their assault rifles to the local Aryan Nation book club reading of Mein Kampf.
Yep, you're right. I mean, it's sad
this
to say.
Michael, excuse me. This is no commercial for the Republican Party, because I've come on this show numerous times, Larkin, and I have asked publicly the question, where are the Republicans? Where are they? Where have they been in the last 8 years? They're mad about Donald Trump. The number one reason that people went and voted for Donald Trump was not because of The Apprentice. It was because finally there was a guy who got up there and said, America first. Is Trump flawed? Is he unqualified? That's up to the voters to determine. I think it's hilarious listening to Republicans say that the Republican Party better figure out a way to dump Trump. How dare you? How dare you say that? It is up to the voters to determine who's fit or unfit. What is this, the Soviet Union, Michael? Dump Trump. That's up to the voters to determine that. And if the Republicans in this country really look in the mirror and are honest with themselves and ask themselves, why did he do so well in the primary? What they're going to realize is because he brought to the forefront things that the Republicans, for the most part, not all, have just tipped toe around. They have. Yeah. There's just no denying this point.
And Rich.
And there are Republicans in this country that have publicly said that they're going to go and vote for Hillary Clinton when you just disrespected the largest turnout in the history of your party. That's your plan to grow the party? That?
You know, we discussed this once before, and I'm going to go to Mark. I think that if things were better in this country, more sensible, that businesses were doing well and we didn't piper all the businesses out of America to go around the world, you would have five people running like Donald Trump on each of the parties and maybe even a third party. But people don't want to go through this unbelievable vetting process and be tormented in the media. Why aren't, by the way, guys, the national media, who are there to present us ideas, helping us promote jobs? Why aren't they getting all the principals together to talk about a new change of direction in America, new strategy? How are we going to expand businesses, jobs? They're talking garbage. They're worried about what Bill Clinton did 25 years ago or whatever. Who cares? I care about tomorrow. Rich, you have to be concerned about your new daughter, Isabella. And everything that you said today, last week, and for 4 years has been absolutely true. The American leader is gone.
Michael, Larkin, you said something last week. You talked about the pragmatic party. Look, I'm on board with you on this. Okay, I am. But I have to ask you something. There was a time when liberals, conservatives, independents, moderates, Democrats, however you identify, however one identified oneself, there was a time when we could all get together, different political beliefs, and say and agree, you know what, got to keep the streets clean. You know what, got to keep the streets safe. You know what, got to have national security in order. What happened? Larkin, what happened? And in my opinion, the thing that happened is people didn't heed the warning of President Reagan, who said the creeping of collectivism will happen in America if it's not stopped, if you're not aware of it. What happened? People of all differing beliefs in agreement. Tip O'Neill was able to work with Reagan at the time. I mean, Tip O'Neill was so far left that you wonder how it was even possible. But yet, it worked, right? Maybe not all the time, maybe not always well, but it worked. What happened? What's happened where we can't even agree on the basic stuff? How are we going to negotiate with a group of people when you tell them, Michael, we need to protect our borders, you're a racist, when we need to vet and understand and know exactly who's coming into this country, especially from nations that, oh, for the last only 20,000 years have had nothing but war and violence. I think 20,000 years is enough evidence, don't you guys think? We should know who those people are. You're an Islamophobe. America first, Hitler. Where are you going to reason, Mark? Mark, where's the negotiation at the table? Tell me.
You know, sitting here, and again with the radio show, and thank you, Mike, for having me on for 3 years, and I'm not as political as, you know, Rich and Larkin and Mike, but I learned a lot from you guys. And as you go and as I'm in the arena fighting the fight as a businessman and, you know, an entrepreneur, you learn and you listen. And what I absolutely know is nothing's changed in 8 years. We call the Made in America story, again, 30-year mistake, but 8 years, nothing's changed. And I've got people in my company, almost 70 employees, love Hill, you know, some love Hillary, some love Donald, some hate both. You know, but if there's an insider and an outsider, you got two choices coming up, Rich, and I think you're hitting on it. You got two choices coming out. Do you like where we're at or don't you like? And if Donald Trump is the wrecking ball, if the guy that took $60 to $100 million of his own money, and I truly believe that he did it because he loves America and wants change, I do. And everybody's ripping him apart. But I think it's our last chance to truly make change that we need. He's rough. But it might be the change we need to get started. But, boy, is whoever gets in, the work that has to be done. But otherwise, if it's business as usual, this is where we're at. We're talking about the same thing next year.
And that is why it is so important that we continue our efforts to influence people to buy American, speak up where they shop, because we're certainly not getting that from our leaders, and we're not getting it from the news media. I just want to say this. I'm going to go right back to you, Mark. You know, every time there was a debate, the next thing you know, they end the debates, and immediately the pundits go and say it meant this, it meant that. Not one of those pundits ever questioned how did the candidates, how were they questioned about the jobs issue? These people do not understand that if we want to end a lot of problems in our country, employment would help do that. We never had these problems 35, 40 years ago because people felt better about themselves. They went to a job. They had a place to go. They came back. They treated their families with the goodness of what they were able to earn. That's not available. And by the way, we're talking about, for many weeks and many years, the breakup of the family. In many cases, the breakup of the family also is employment related. When a person has no job and they have been in a situation where they've been dependent on government for a long period of time, they have no example to give to their child. They turn to drugs and alcohol and violence and whatever. If a father has a hungry child and that child is saying, Dad, I like this, I want this and that, sometimes these people are driven to violence to get that or to robbery or whatever.
Okay, Michael, so I have a question for you then, Michael. How have 70 years of Democrat economic policy worked out in Baltimore?
Very poorly.
Tell me.
Very poorly.
How's Flint done?
Very poorly.
Hey, Larkin,
Richard. Wait a second. I want to tell you. This is the major problem of the Democratic people who've been elected in those offices for 70 years because they never spoke up and said to the people, do you realize we're losing our stability? Do you realize why there are so many problems with your young people? Do you realize that you're not going to have any money unless government gives it to you? None of them ever did that. They got their weekly paycheck. They didn't care about the people.
How are we doing in Detroit? How are we doing in Detroit?
That's right.
Larkin, how's Chicago doing? How's all those years of that Democrat mob rule doing in Chicago?
You know, we need to forget about style. Yeah, and that's the problem. That's always seeming. That's all the press talks about is style. These candidates need to speak honestly about what they hope to accomplish and how, in the language that all the people can understand. They need to explain why it's good for them and what price it will be. And they need to talk about who's going to pay for it. Then you can be sure that your style, that their style, will work.
You're right, Larkin. It's the new strategy for America. Nobody's talking about it.
At least for those who feel to be represented by voting for you, style becomes not an issue. And that apparently is the huge problem that we have right now. All they're doing is yelling at each other. All they're doing is yelling insults at each other. While the critics and the press may enjoy discussing what this leadership style is, the more important question is what those two aspiring leaders have done and what they plan to do and why they plan to do it and how they plan to do it and for whom they plan to do it. And when then the spectacle's over with. Then it becomes an issue based. Then I'm making a decision about who's going to be president based on what I expect January, February, and March to be like in this country.
You know, Larkin, you're absolutely right. And with that, what you just said, I believe that Larkin Connolly, Rich Loges, Mark Endel, Michael Blihash, and Henry Chaplinsky would be better debate moderators than all the people that they could put up. Because I would not tolerate the crap that they're trying to already connive what they're going to try to slip and brainwash the people with. All of us could talk about the real bread and butter issues to the candidates. But that's where the problem is. The press doesn't want that.
You know, the Democrats gave the Republicans a raft the entire primary season because there were, at the beginning, 16 candidates. We had 16 people to pick from. So, excuse me, Mr. Democrat, I'm supposed to prefer the coronation of Queen Hillary over me being able to look and vet 16 people and pick the person I think needs to be to do this job. And you know what? The American people bought the criticism. They loved it.
That's narrative, though, Larkin. But that's media narrative. And ultimately, guys, listen, ultimately people are responsible for their own ignorance. I don't care how much influence media has. People are responsible for their own knowledge and their own objectivity and their own ignorance. But we cannot dismiss the influence of the media. And that's media narrative. The media has every useful idiot in America thinking that your gender, skin color, or religion is a skill. It's not.
I made kind of a left-handed remark last week. I was in St. Louis all week at SCORE's National Convention, which, by the way, was heartening to the degree that I got to meet a lot of people who had started businesses and were successful. I got to see the lighter side that the media doesn't spend very much time telling you about. And it just kind of amazed me what everybody was talking about. And at one particular point, in the middle of a very private five-person discussion, the individual looked at me when I made a comment and said, this is a Democrat who said this to me, because maybe he does know I'm a Republican. I have no idea. I'm not anything at this point. But he said, there you go again. That tinfoil hat you wear all the time's just gotten a little bit tighter. Well, I kind of looked at the guy and said, well, that kind of a comment is uncalled for. I mean, what does that mean? You know what it means? It means it's another individual totally incapable of arguing facts, totally incapable of talking policy, totally incapable of talking preference. And so what do? They go to name-calling. That's what we've reverted to. That's what it is.
Yes, and the media has been wasting our time. And when you waste time, you waste life. And that's what they've been doing. I mean, Larkin, if you were up there as a moderator for the debate, you would never allow a lot of these idiotic questions. And by the way, I'd like to see one full debate focused upon America, not only all the concerns of the world, but one total debate focused on America that we can all tune in and see. This is what the person is talking about with the strategy for a new America, a changed America, an America where the wheels are going to turn and move forward, not be sitting silent as they are today. And many of those industries are silent. Mark, you can drive through any place in New York and see many silenced industries. And why are they silenced, Mark?
Yeah, you know, people forgot about them. We talk about the mistake they made, but boy, you touched on them like that. Made in America, I mean, I love it because the stores work. We're a drop of water in an ocean, but, you know, the eight outlets in Western New York, people love it. It's making a difference. It's creating jobs. Again, it's a great model. But, you know, we lost so much in this country. Larkin, you talk about the supply chains, how manufacturing, what manufacturing to come back. We need so much change. It's such a simple idea. And, Mike, you touched on the breakdown of the family. Made in America, having a job, providing for your own family, food, shelter, clothing, having a place to go into work every day and have a routine takes care of 90% of our troubles, but they won't grab a hold of it. Rich, you said a long time ago, it's just not sexy enough.
And I think that you're right, Mark, and this breakdown of our job base is affecting every American, because if you're not affected directly, you may have a son or a daughter or a sister or brother or neighbor who's affected. And this is really not the way people of 30 or 35 years ago knew America. There were people who came, visitors, and said, if I lost my job one day, they did downsizing or seasonal changes or whatever, I was able to get a job within a mile of my house in a very short period of time. You can't do that today. You don't even have employment offices anymore or unemployment offices. Everything is online. They don't even size you up to see who you are.
Yeah, but Michael, notice the time frame you just used, 35 years.
35 years since we allowed globalization to flourish and not have America included. This is where our problems started. Yes, Mark.
I just want to say hard work produces luck. And again, I think the school systems washed that work ethic out of everyone. They forced them more towards the college and not working at possibly a factory, but a clean factory where you can learn a skill. Both are good, college and working with your hands, but I believe they washed it out of our culture, and that's what we're seeing today, working for a living, earning a dollar, and supplying and living that American dream with that can-do spirit is missing.
Mark, you are absolutely right, and I'm going to give you another example of a person I spoke to. They said they were all for Bernie Sanders for like 6 months until he went down right before the convention, and I said, well, what exactly were you thinking was so important about him? It was that he would possibly wash away their college debt. And some of the young people told me, quite frankly, they went to the college with the liberal arts idea in mind, and when they got out of college, they saw, this is not maybe what I should have done. Maybe I should have done to go to this type of technician, or maybe to go into something where I can see that these jobs are really needed in the United States of America right now. That's where a lot of those kids wanted to get rid of their college debt, and they thought he really would be able to do it with the wish of a wand.
Who cares what you study in college? Why? Who cares? Might as well be liberal arts. Unless you're going to become an accountant or an attorney or a doctor, unless you're going to take on an advanced degree and become what is most commonly called professional, who cares if you study history and you and you go on to own a drugstore. Who cares? It's just it's a growing process. It's a maturing process where you learn to be on your own, to study and get grades and graduate. Now, if you want to become a doctor, you're going to have to take pre-med. If you want to be a lawyer, you're going to have to take pre-law. You're going to have to take an awful lot of math and accounting if you want to be a CPA.
And one of the things...
beyond that, who cares what they study?
But you know what? The counselors in the high schools and the colleges should really be directing that type of energy to the students to give them a path to what they want to do in their life, not let people have to go out to go to another set of schools to do something after they've already paid for the college and they'll be in debt for 10 or 15 years. Gentlemen, I can't believe it. Another hour has passed. First of all, I want to say thank you to all of our daily radio program sponsors who allow me to take this time to share our thoughts with all of you. Thank you for your financial support of our broadcast. I want to say thank you to Larkin Connolly, Mark Andel, to our new dad, Rich Loges. Congratulations once again to your wife, Bojena, and also best wishes and stola dvieshchelat to little baby Isabella. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be sending out a rebroadcast link a little later today. Please do share what we spoke about on today's broadcast with your family members and friends, because what we're talking about is really what should be discussed in America during our presidential election, as well as all of our local elections. If we don't lead the way, it looks like there's not going to be many leaders doing that. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to wish all of you the very best. Stay well.
Have a great week, guys. Bye, America.
Thanks, everyone.